Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In the oldest book in the Bible, in the book of Job, in Job chapter 19, verse 26, Job makes this stunning statement, a startling revelation, where he says, even after my skin has been eaten by worms and my body has deteriorated in the grave, yet in my flesh I will see God. Job believed that there was a bodily resurrection from the dead, his own resurrection from the dead. And he believed that in a glorified body, he would stand before the Lord in heaven. And though our understanding, though our information about the resurrection from the dead is somewhat limited in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we are given extensive information concerning what will happen to us after we die. Those who belong to Jesus Christ will rise up to be with Him forever. And those who do not know Him will rise up, but they will rise up to eternal suffering. Despite what some people may think, death is not the end of all things for us. Death is just the beginning of eternity for all of us. And the foundation of this teaching finds its source in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As He said in John 14:19, because I live, you shall live also. The essential truth of the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead in a glorified body. And so we will rise from the dead in a glorified body. And for those of us who do belong to Him, we will rise in a body that is designed for heaven. And for those who do not know Him, they will rise in a body that is designed for hell, a body that is designed for eternity. The resurrection is not just a footnote. The resurrection is not just an afterthought, but it is really the main thought. Our eternal destiny is tied to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we saw the last time that we were together, in the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the overwhelming evidence is clear. The evidence is undeniable. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He is alive. And today, He is in the glory of heaven. But there were some in the church in the city of Corinth, just as there are some in the church and outside of the church today, who are being influenced by the culture in which they live. In the same way, those in the church in Corinth were being influenced by the culture that was around them. And so they had doubts concerning the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. and they had doubts concerning the truth of their own resurrection. To them, their body was evil. Their body was like a prison. A prison that they believed they would leave behind to rot in the ground when they died. And only their spirit would continue to live on forever. They believed that dead men do not rise from the dead. But as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 through 19, the Apostle Paul makes it clear to us that the bodily resurrection of the dead is the truth. It is a reality. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the key to unlock that reality. It is of primary importance. It is essential to the gospel message. It is essential to all of us. And so in verse 12, Paul says, "Now, if Christ is being preached by us, and we proclaim His message, this message to you, that He has been raised from the dead, well then, how do some among you remain skeptical and say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Nekros in Greek. The resurrection of dead bodies. The scriptures clearly teach us that Christ was a man. Correct? He ate, he drank, he slept, grew tired. But, at the same time, he was God. Doing things that only God could do. Miraculous things. And yet, in the end, he rose from the dead. So men do rise from the dead. As we are also told in Romans chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 4, where it says that Jesus was born of a woman. He was born as a descendant of King David according to the flesh. And he was also declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. He forever remains both God and man. But, Paul says in verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, if that really is true, then not even Christ has been raised from the dead. And so if Christ has not been raised from the dead, Paul says, then our preaching, the proclamation of the truth of Christ is vain. Kenos in Greek. It is useless. It would even be foolish to preach about such a thing because our message would have no substance at all. It would have no validity. It would have no power to save us. Because without his resurrection, Christ would not have conquered sin. He would not have conquered death. He would not have conquered the grave. He would not have conquered the enemy of our souls. So there would be no good news to talk about. There would be no good news to preach about. Only bad news and worse news. So your faith, your trust in Christ, Paul says in verse 14, also would be vain. It would be empty. It would be a false hope in a Savior who was still in the grave, which is no hope at all. There would be nothing to preach about. There'd be nothing to rejoice about. Moreover, in addition to that, Paul points out in verse 15, we who preach the good news of Jesus Christ would even be found to be like false witnesses in a court of law, bringing false testimony against God, because we would be testifying that he raised Christ from the dead, whom he did not raise, if that is in fact the truth, that the dead are not raised at all. The Christian faith is not just a collection of good advice. It is not just a guide to moral behavior. It is not just instructions for us to follow how we are to live and conduct ourselves. But it is the good news of what God has done for us. Christ has been raised from the dead in order to save our souls. But if that is not true, then we are all liars. But there are also personal consequences to this. If in fact Christ has not been raised from the dead, consequences that impact all of us. For if the dead are not raised, Paul says in verse 16, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then he says, your faith in him is not only useless, but your faith is worthless. Matheos in Greek. It has no purpose. It has no real value. You have placed your confidence in a lie. Your debt to God for your sin has not been paid, and you have no one to pay it. You have no one to bear your sins in his body. And so you are still being held captive in your sins. Without his resurrection, the death of Christ has accomplished nothing. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, those who have died, trusting in him for their salvation, expecting to open up their eyes in heaven in his presence after they have died, well, Paul says, then they would have perished. Apollyon in Greek. They're lost. They'd be lost forever. They're in eternal ruin. They have made a critical error in judgment, a mistake that all of us make if we have hoped in Christ in this life only. If there is nothing beyond this life except eternal punishment, if we have denied ourselves and followed a Savior who could not save us, if we have suffered for him who no longer lives, if there is no forgiveness for our sin, if there is no home for us in heaven, if there is no hope in any of those things, well, then it's all been for nothing, hasn't it? We have been living in an illusion. And so, Paul says, we are of all men and women, most of all, to be pitied. Eleanos in Greek. We are the most miserable people on this earth, so people should feel sorry for us. Because we've lived with an expectation that will never become a reality. It has all been a cruel deception. We've really wasted our lives, haven't we? But that is not the case, Paul quickly adds in verse 20. Christ has been raised from the dead. He is alive. And the truth of the resurrection is of primary importance to us because our eternity rests upon this truth, as we are reminded in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, and in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, where Jesus is called the author of our salvation, the author of our faith. And that word, author, is the word archelos in Greek. The one who leads us. The one who guides us. The one who goes ahead of us. And at the time that the New Testament was being written, every ship had an archelos. One who would lead the way. As that vessel approached the shore and the wind and the waves and the rocks made it treacherous to continue, made it impossible to safely anchor that ship, and the ship was about to break up, a rope was tied around the archelos. And he would swim through those treacherous waters and secure that rope on the shore so that the other people on board that ship could hold on to that rope and make their way to safety. Jesus is our archelos. He swam through the waters of death and swam to the shores of heaven so that we might follow him by his death, by his resurrection. He has made a way for us so that we might follow. And he waits for us there. He waits for us in heaven. Our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.